So you're telling me that this is our 78th show. You haven't worn socks for 78 shows. Like, is that a thing? They've never been on, or have socks been on?
That's right. No socks. I don't like wearing socks or shoes in the house. I know somebody who might be listening and has some foot problems, and so they have to wear shoes in the house, and I can't imagine a worse, like, if I don't know what I would do if I had to wear shoes in the house. I don't like wearing shoes.
I have to wear shoes and socks all day long, like most, I guess, people do. But like
I don't,
you're not normal. See, that's the difference. Yeah. But you know, I sweat all day long. I'm working hard outside. Mm-hmm. So like when I get home, I feel like it's unhealthy to keep them inside the nasty socks.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to take them off. Yeah. At work, I also take off my shoes. I probably shouldn't, but I do when I'm just in my office. But sometimes if I have to go around the corner just to grab a bottle of water, I'll do that and I'm barefoot. And like, it's fine. It's fine. But I also like, yeah, you should change your shoes. Like when I go to the gym, I change into my gym shoes because I don't want to wear my outside shoes into the gym. No.
Mm-mm. People look at you weird.
That's right. Who does that? You wear your outside shoes on the gym treadmill? No. Mm-mm. That's not okay. No.
No. Yeah. Great. Did you know that horses can't vomit?
I did know that. That's pretty common.
Hey, I told you. I'm struggling here. I'm reaching for the stars.
Assume I know everything.
Did you know a pregnant goldfish is called a twit?
I don't think I know that one.
Yeah, no. Well, now no. If you ever see a pregnant goldfish, just call it a twit.
I will be sure to do that. Yeah.
All right. This is one that you're going to really appreciate because we talk about fueling and calories, and we've talked about your calorie bomb of your double. Mm-hmm. What is it? I don't know, but it's a big double slammer cookie or whatever. It was like 600.
Oh, calories. Yeah. The double.
Oatmeal cream pie, right?
Double-decker. It's an oatmeal cream pie, but it's double-decker, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I didn't realize this, but the Cinnabon Classic, I guess it's like a sticky bun, honey bun thing you get from Cinnabon. Mm-hmm. That's 890 calories.
Yeah.
So if you are starting a race near Cinnabon, you get a couple of those bad boys and you're mm-hmm. set. 890.
Yeah. I feel like it's... Those are a little sticky because those have the frosting on it. But I went for my race this past weekend. I went to the deli, my local deli, and they had these little miniature cinnamon rolls. And I got a bunch of those miniature cinnamon rolls. I'd go in with my crew and I'd grab like three of them. And they're really easy to just grab and go and lots of yummy calories.
Mm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we should probably start the show, but just
let's do it.
Something for you to carry on through this week is that women blink twice as much as men.
Good to know.
Yeah. So let's get this started. You ready?
I'm ready.
Grace, there are a few amazing races this weekend and many coming up that are great. Let's discuss this on episode 78.
Yes.
I'm Eric Idiot Runner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right, business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party.
How do you go from a 77, which nothing rhymes with seven, it's the worst number ever, to eight, which like I have so many options open with the number eight and rhyme.
What are some of those options? Tell me all of them. Race, how many?
Like at least 10 or 20.
Okay, let's go.
I can't. You can't pressure me like that. I'll break down. Come on.
Gosh.
But it's insane. So anyway, good to see you, Grace.
Good to see you too.
Welcome to episode number 78 of the Running Mullet, episode one. Or not episode one, but season one.
Yeah.
Oh, season one. We have some funny guests, some fun guests on tonight that are kind of last minute from that ran Twisted Branch.
Yeah.
Gilbert and Kip H. I'm not even going to say his last name because he's Kip H to me.
Uh-huh.
But first, you did something kind. You had a big little jog this weekend, huh?
Yeah, I had a little jog this weekend. I ran the Baker 50 miler. It was fun.
Tell us about it. How did it go? What time does that race start?
It starts at 6:30 a.m., which is great because that means you don't need a headlamp for the start. And it finishes by 8:30 p.m., which also, and it's kind of wide open spaces by the end. So you also don't need a headlamp for the finish. So you can get through the whole thing.
What do you mean wide open spaces at the end?
Like, you know, when there's too much tree cover, sometimes when the sun is setting, you still want a headlamp. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I
didn't explain that well. Thank you.
Yeah, but you're saying towards the end of the race, it's a lot of fields or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So you don't need a headlamp the entire time, which is kind of nice.
You know, that's one thing that bothers me about World's End 100K.
Mm-hmm.
Not to get off subject, but like for anybody that is fit and trying it for the first time, I think an amazing goal for that race is a daylight finish.
Mm-hmm.
But it's such a, what are you calling daylight? You know, the sky is still bright. It's dark in the woods. You don't need your headlamp if you weren't in the woods, but you need your headlamp because you are in the woods when it starts to get dark. And it's not fair because it's like when you break out into the park, it's still light.
Mm-hmm.
But you needed your headlamp on. So anyway,
still
counts as daylight in my book.
Yeah, it's a little tricky in the beginning. But yeah, it's nice in a lot of ways. I really, really enjoy this race. I ran it last year and I wasn't really planning on it. And then I was like, I'll go ahead and do this because I need a qualifier. And a couple friends were doing it. And then I ended up enjoying it a lot more than I anticipated. I don't know why not that I had low expectations, just that I didn't know much about it. And it was just a great race. And it's a race that changes its course on a 3-year rotation. So this was last year I did the northern section. This year I did the central section. And then next year I'll do the southern section. And if you do all three sections and the trail itself, it's called the Baker Trail Challenge. It's on the Baker Trail primarily. And if you finish all three, you get a rolling pin. Isn't that cute?
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Very well run. Great volunteers, great aid stations, great race director. They do a 50-50 split, male, female, which is, it's, you know, for a 50-mile distance, I think anything 50 miles and up as a female, you're just kind of used to being around a bunch of dudes. And that's cool. You know, dudes are always nice. So it is interesting when I'm in it and I'm like, man, there's just a lot of women around me and it's unique. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So you had a good day. I mean, you said before the show, you're focused on nutrition a little more. What did you fuel off of? Anything special that people need to know?
Yeah, I put in an order at the last minute with the feed for the stuff that is the best for me. But thankfully my gut is a trash can. So when my order did not come in time, I just used what I had, which is a mixture of honey stinger gels and endurance tap. I love endurance tap. That's maple syrup that has ginger and salt in it, which is just primo. Did some cinnamon bun, did my crew, best crew chief, Carl Lear, and then Steph Daniels was my pacer and also crew. And Carl made me a grilled cheese sandwich with bacon on it. And, you know, I can put just about anything down my gullet and be okay. So as long as, the thing is I get bored and I just don't feel like eating toward the end of races because I want to finish so I can have good food. And Carl makes me a big, gigantic burger. And I get so excited about the burger that I just stop eating usually. But I didn't do that this time. I kept eating the whole time. Did a good job of cooling. A lot of people got hot. There was a lot of the course that was exposed. But I kept stopping every time there was a creek and I would just kind of swoosh water all over my arms, about like 5 swooshes on both arms, and then dunk my visor. And that kept me cool.
Nice. I got to know, what did you order from the feed that didn't show up on time?
So I ordered Morton gels, which are terribly expensive, but the last couple times I've used them, I just felt amazing. Again, like, here's the thing with nutrition is that I can eat anything, but there are certain foods that I perform better. And I think that's one of the things to figure out with nutrition.
I've never felt a gel actually work other than Martin.
Like, yeah.
I swore like I could feel, I felt better.
Right. Yep. That's how I feel on Morton. So I got some Morton gels. I got some more Endurance Tap and then the Honey Stinger gummy jelly things. So I got those three things. But Morton is like, it's like super fuel and I hate that it's so expensive, and but it works. So yeah. I'm going to use it this weekend instead. So that'll be that.
What's going on this weekend?
I don't know. Callie and I are going on an adventure. We'll tell you about it next week.
How fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, enjoy your adventuring.
Yeah. And you had, it was your birthday.
I mean, yeah, everybody has a birthday. It's whatever. You know,
Facebook ruins birthdays.
Thank you. But whatever. Okay. Let's move on. I'm 44 now.
I love it.
I'm 44. 40 more. Yeah. I need to do more with 44.
Do more with 44.
Yeah.
Okay. I like it.
That's my motto.
More Morton with 44.
Yeah. So that sounds like a good race. You did good. You finished. You're happy. You feel good. Nothing. No niggle.
Yeah. No niggles. I feel really good. And that's the important part.
We gotta get this on. I don't know. Sorry, Grace. I just
saw Kip's foot.
Wow.
Why? Why do I? Kip, right there.
Oh, wow. That's not right. There's a lot going on right now. And you worry about my interesting facts at the beginning of the show?
If you are listening to the podcast and not watching the live stream, you're totally fine. You don't need to see any of this. It's Kip's disgusting feet that he is showing us on the live stream.
So I don't mean to jump away from Baker to Baker.
Sorry.
Phenomenal job. But I saw that and I had to throw it on there.
It was good timing, I think.
I mean, Twisted Branch 100, and we have on Kip H. and Gilbert, who ran the race, completed the race. I don't think, you guys weren't really planning on running together at the beginning of the race, were you?
No, not really. Mike Schott and I were planning on running the whole thing together. But we also had the idea of Gibby and Derek maybe sticking together too, but we didn't want to make a pack of four because a commitment for four, because so many things can go wrong. Yeah. But we had in the back of our head that maybe Gibby and Derek would go with us. A magical dream.
So, well, just for some history, I'm a pole vaulter, so how can a pole vaulter keep honor?
So before we go on, Derek Heitzman is who you're talking about. He started the race. He was prepared to do the 100K, and apparently he got stung over 50 times and had to DNF.
Yeah, all four of us were together, and I saw the hornet's nest in the ground, so I stomped on it really fast and got away, and they came out and stung him.
Yeah, that sounds like something you would do.
That's a way to get ahead of your competition for sure.
That is one. Yeah, it's one more person that's not competing with you.
Yeah, they got him pretty good. He was pretty dinged up.
Yeah, that's hard to continue on from.
Yeah.
So yeah, starting off,
he only got stung six times, but it was a lot more than that.
They've been really bad this year. Everybody said that. And actually, one of our local trails closed because of having too much bee activity or yellow jackets or I think it was yellow jackets because they're in the ground, I guess. But one of our local trails closed because it's been so bad this year. Yeah.
Wow.
Kelly's Run.
Lauren just got stung right at Blackwell, and Adam Cole ran with me on Sunday with Lauren. Mm-hmm. They both got stung. I don't know.
I think Joey, she has like 30.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy. Just wild.
I hate them. Screw those bees.
They're taking over. We need to show our dominance somehow.
All right. So basically what happened was you guys ended up running together the entirety of the 100K race. And we want to hear all the good stuff that happened during the 16 hours that you two were together. Because anybody that knows Grace and I more than likely probably know you two knuckleheads. And I'm very jealous I wasn't there to hang out with you for 16 hours of this race. So, I mean, Gibby, you said you're very happy with the time. You were shooting for more like 18 hours, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I was shooting for like 18:30. You know, kind of cut off, but I knew I had to be a little bit ahead of cutoff for the Western States qualifier. That was my main goal.
Yeah.
But also that Mike, Derek, and Kip were doing it. That was awesome. That kind of got me interested in getting off the wait list, because I didn't get into the race until Tuesday before the race. So it's kind of like last minute. Those Eastern States was canceled. I wanted to get a qualifier. But
and this Twisted Branch is a very early start. It's a 4 a.m. start, right?
Yep.
Yeah. What did you guys sleep in your cars up there, or how'd you handle that? Because it's a couple hours from your house.
So I slept in a tent. I went to the finish line, parked my truck, packed a bag, went to the start on a shuttle. It was like an hour-long bus ride. And then Mike and Derek, they were there getting ready.
I stayed at Derek's house, and then at 2, we got up, and our friend Canada drove us to the start.
Nice. Well, I mean, that's about, I don't know, it's 4 a.m. is rough, because it's still enough where you can sleep that night, but it's super early to get up at 3 to get your stuff together.
Yeah,
earlier without being like the midnight start of Black Forest or something. That's different. That's like that crosses the boundary to the previous day or the next day. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So 4 a.m. start is definitely difficult.
Yeah, you don't go to sleep for Black Forest, but you do for Twisted. But it's so early that your sleep is very much interrupted. I don't know. It's tough, but it's nice that it gets you done fairly early too.
Yeah.
And not having your vehicle at the start, like, you always forget something in the morning. You're like, all right, what do I need? You know, only having my bag and my tent and my running vest, you know, the night before at the start was really weird. I was always like thinking, what did I forget?
Yeah.
And I wasn't doing drop bags, so that was another like kind of like worry. So I kind of like keeping on me what I need. Which, you know, obviously I'm going to need food. I'm going to use the aid stations for food and fluid. But other than that, I mean, it was a little nerve-wracking. And then getting in Tuesday, and I didn't really know much about the race. I didn't know it was even point-to-point, and then the whole shuttle thing. So it was kind of hectic. And then
did you know that it was 100K?
I did know that, but then I saw it was 64-point something, and then they had road, and I was just like, oh my gosh.
Oh god. So the race started, and throughout the first half of the race, Derek got hammered by the bees. Yep. Mike Shutt got his quads got destroyed. He had to stop. Where at that point, you guys, I assume you guys were probably together or pretty close together. Did you pretty much tell like, all right, here's the plan. Let's run this together, or did it naturally just turn into that?
We were together for all that point, and then when Mike dropped out, Gibby and I stayed together for the most part, and we picked up my sister Kristen to pace us. And then Gibby had to make a pit stop at one of the aid stations, drop a deuce, and I wasn't patient enough to wait for him, so I left him behind. And
that was a baseball.
Did you see it?
Oh, yeah. It hit the back of the toilet, like the porta pot, and made a bang. And I was just like, all right. And it was so hot in there. I'm fanning the door, trying to cool it instantly. And I think I was there like 7 minutes because my wife was tracking me and texting me, oh, you took too long in that AZ. I'm like, I had to drop a baseball. So I got down to the next turn, and it was dirt road down to where Derek was. Came back on the court.
Oh, Gibby's breaking up there.
He is.
He's freezing up.
Come back, right. Gibby. We got you, Gibby. Come on, Gibby.
Now, Kip, was this your first time running Twisted Branch, or have you run it before?
Yeah, it was my first time. I think we both were comparing it to Eastern States. So compared to Eastern States, is virtually no rocks. It's pretty flat. So I think when the whole time you're running, like, well, this is not Eastern State, so this is very runnable. Yeah. And I think he and I have definitely benefited from that.
That's a pretty cool, I don't know, a nice twist. A nice twist of events. Because, you know, Twisted Branch has been around, what, 9, 10 years, something like that. I hear really good stuff about it. And sometimes those really great races, when they're really close to another one, even if you physically can do both of them, it's still the travel, it's time away from family, it's investing in even more hotels and things like that, or camping time. And so that's kind of a cool opportunity to run Twisted Branch, to have that chance to do it. I know the first year I decided to not run World's End, I still went to volunteer, of course, to be there, but it gave me a chance to run Laurel Highlands because of back to back. So that's pretty cool that you guys took that opportunity to run Twisted Branch. I like that.
Yeah, I decided to take Eastern States off this year to pace a couple people, and then Gibby had it canceled on them, so it worked out well.
Nice. Okay. Well,
what did you talk about the whole time? The whole 16 hours.
All right, so every tree that we had to jump over, Kip would say wood, and then he'd say, So that was every tree, and I heard that at least 100 times. So that was pretty entertaining.
And the free, that out.
Look, there were lots of free miles, too, like every little like slight downhill that was a nice, no rocks or road. I kept calling them free miles, so Mike and Gib and Derek were kind of getting mad at me. They're like, these aren't free. I'm like, they're just easy miles, though. It's free. Hardly working at all.
Well, I feel like it's harder to run on the road. I like being in the trail. You feel like you're going faster. You're not out in the sun exposed. So, I think that's what kept me going with Kip was those easy, free road miles, but it was still hard.
Yeah, I think they're really hard when you're by yourself. Definitely having company makes it not so bad.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, the road miles of Twisted Branch, they add up. It there is quite a bit of road sections, but most of them, like you guys are saying, are fairly easy and they're extended. I don't know how many miles the longest one is, but you're right. It's what makes a course like that faster than World's End and stuff is there's a lot of time you can gain back in sections like that.
Yeah, for sure. Like maybe a quarter of it was road.
Wow.
Close to it, yeah.
That's nice. It breaks it up.
What were you going to say, Grace?
Oh, there's so many things to say. So, firstly, I mean, I think it's also cool, Eric, you ran Twisted Branch.
Mm-hmm.
What was your finish time? Do you remember?
I don't know. It was under 16 hours.
That's okay. You don't have to talk about it. I'll talk about it for you. Because it's just great to see this stuff, Eric. I talk about being in the back of the pack all the time, and we don't get to hear as much about how awesome you are at the front, but you finished in 12:04. Third place overall. Nicely done, Eric.
Yeah, that was a good race. I don't think I'm top 10 on the list anymore because it's such a fast run race and there's the studs that do it. But yeah, Thank you. That was I mean, it's a hard race. It's still got the hills and it's still got the elevation. So that was it was definitely a good day for me.
I would say Kip said you made this comment. It is not a flat race at all. So if anybody's listening to this, don't listen to anything Kip says about this course. It is not a flat course. It's definitely still has a good amount of vert in there. You just have to know Kip to understand what he means by that. If you don't know him, then just take that with a grain of salt. But I want to hear some highlights and lowlights from kind of maybe all three of you. So Kip, what was your favorite moment of the race?
Crossing the finish line, holding hands with Gib. I think the last 2 hours we're trying to decide how we're going to finish. Was it going to be a hug, a kiss, other ideas that I probably shouldn't put out on the internet. But yeah, we decided to hold hands across the finish line.
Oh, that's so sweet. You guys did. And you posted that photo online already. And it was lovely. Hands across the finish line.
You can feel the love for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe how about you?
So I wanted tongue, but he didn't want to do it.
There's next time. There's always next time, Gibby.
Yeah, so definitely like the highs were the first 30 miles. I was just feeling absolutely great. I've probably never felt that good, you know, that long in a 100K race, but I really took it easy. And I've been hearing all this talk about 100 grams of carbs per hour. So I put it to the test and made sure I was eating, you know, stuff my body liked. Like I've never used Scratch before, but man, Scratch is just great. Like to choose the drink. So I was hammering that. Then they had these like breakfast rice balls in tin foil. There's bacon and egg. So they had those at every aid station. I had two of those and then like all the Scratch, and it was just going down so easy. So I think I can contribute most of my race to like, you know, the hydration and the fuel that they had at the aid stations, which I had to rely on 100%. But then having Kip there, he was definitely pulling me along at the beginning. I was going a little faster than I wanted to, but he's like, you know, these first couple aid stations, the cutoffs are, he's like, you got to be like 16:30 pace. And I'm like, I wanted to be around 17 pace, just kind of hiking kind of fast. And he's like, you got to come. So that's another reason I stayed with those guys. And yeah, my training hasn't been too great, but I'd say that's some of the highs. And then Shannon texts me like halfway through the race. Shannon Oaks, she's like, are you looking for a pacer? Do you have one? I'm like, I don't have a pacer, but heck yeah, you can, you know, run with me. And so Kip's like, I already turned her down twice. I don't care. I'm still taking her.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, first one to Shannon gets her. So nice. A little more motivation to keep going. And then another highlight was we got our group of four of us got a trail named Circle P because, you know, all four of us had to go pee at the beginning. We got in a circle and peed together. So that was another highlight.
That's so sweet. And are you all Circle P? So if I just say Circle P, like all four of you will answer.
I think it's like superheroes. If you say Circle P, they all four come from different directions. You know, like they're here to protect you.
You say it three times, we appear at your house.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, I like it. That's exciting.
That's a dream of mine.
Yeah, so then we pulled into the last aid station and met up with Canna and Shannon Oaks. So, and they were just super positive, ready to go. And I'm like, no, we got plenty of time. I can walk real slow and still make Western States qualifier, but yeah, they pushed us real hard. And seeing Shannon, I was kind of like worried that I'd be too slow for her because she's just, you know, lightning fast and a beast. But she kept me moving, and it was a good time.
It was a good day. We passed people the entire time. Somebody told me that our finishing time was predicted at 10 o'clock or something like that. And throughout the entire night, it just kept getting faster and faster and faster. Wow. And we just kept picking people off, and it was a fun day.
That is a fun day. I don't know, start out nice and easy as buddies and pee together and then hold hands at the finish. Oh, I love it.
Now, I know you guys didn't, you said you didn't push super hard, which is probably why you did so well, honestly. Mm-hmm. But like a race like this, it's hard to run with somebody and stay together the whole time because Kip, your low might be different than when Gibby isn't feeling great. And when you're feeling amazing, Gibby might feel like hell. Did any of that happen or was it pretty much just like even keel the whole time for both of you?
We had a little separation when he stopped to go to the bathroom, which I think maybe ticked him off a little bit that I left him behind. I don't know, because then he sprinted after me and caught me by the next aid station. But for the most part, we stayed together.
Yeah, that's not bad. When people talk about like running Eastern States together or something, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing to stick together for.
And like you said, the first 30 miles, he was like, I feel great. I feel awesome. I felt this great ever. And I was like, I was hoping he would hold back and wait for us to get through halfway at least. Yeah. And he's like, I'm going to wait till 30. Then he's like, I'm going to wait till 40. Then he's like, I'm going to wait till 50. I'm like, okay.
I did have one pretty hard low. We were coming up all exposed road along a field, and it was just hot. And I'm like, man, I'm getting lightheaded, and I knew I wasn't eating enough just in that little window. Mm-hmm. And, like, I was living right on the edge of not having enough fuel. And I took in some scratch, and we got in the trees, and I came back to life. So that was really my only low point. Nice. Except right after when I had to run, like, I don't know. I thought I was running, like, a 7-minute mile, but it was probably, like, a 10:30 to catch Kip. Yeah, after running for 20 minutes like that, I was hurting for a little bit.
Right.
Eric, what about you? What are your favorite moments from Twisted?
That's a good question. Probably, I mean, I don't know if they're favorite moments, but some of the things that stick out to me, like I ran that last aid station, I think is where you guys said you got Shannon. I forget, what's the name of the aid station? Before the big climb. Anyway,
yeah,
thanks. It's at that fire hall or church or something, and you run through the field, and it's the biggest. It's a big climb, I guess, of the race. You're just tired too. Once you get up that climb, it's a lot of rolly hills to the finish for like 6 miles. But apparently, I came through, and Becky was there crewing me as she always does, and. Aid station stuff, and I left pretty quick, but little did I know, I'm trying to think, I didn't win that race.
I was third.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I guess I was I was happy I was in top three, and Jason Mintz, he was in fourth, he was right there. So basically Becky saw he came in as I was leaving, but I didn't know he just came in at aid station. So I'm just like tired, jogging, trying to run, start running up this hill. And apparently he was right there. Luckily I had enough where I ran a lot of that hill, power hiked a lot of it faster than he did. And he couldn't catch me. But what I'm saying is like, I had no idea. He could have crept up on me right then and there and passed me. And I would have been just like an idiot saying, oh crap. And they told me this after the race had ended that he was right there. And I talked to him and he's a good dude. And he's actually a very good friend of Shannon's. But that's what I remember. I don't tend to do much race research. Gibby, I don't wait till the last week to do anything and get off the wait list like you did. But the amount of road sections caught me off guard. It didn't take anything away from the race. It's still a trail race. It still has heavy gain. It's still a hard race. But there were a lot of road sections that surprised me throughout the race, I guess I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I will always speak very highly of Twisted Branch as far as the – they don't leave any leaf unturned as far as making sure the race is the runner gets everything they need. And I mean, everything from the finish line, food, the finish line, the aid stations, the course markings, nothing. From what it used to be is anything to complain about.
Yeah.
And it's a little different. The Finger Lakes Trail itself is different than what Grace and I and you guys always talk about in North Central PA or Southern PA. Mm-hmm. But it's beautiful, and it's right there across the border in New York, so it's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, beautiful trail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, rocks-wise, I think there's only like a 50-foot section of rocks that would be comparable to, like, you know, maybe World's End or Boulder Beast, like, you know, small rocks that are on the trail you got to kind of maneuver around. I don't remember hardly any of that, just a small section.
Yeah, well, but again, that makes it just that much harder because it's you're moving, you're running that much more. Yeah. It's hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounds too much like rainbows and unicorns. So now I want to hear about what's something that, I don't know, just didn't go so great or didn't go the way that it planned, and how did you get through it? Kip, how about you?
Well, there was really no planning, so I didn't really have much expectation or much planning. I was just showing up and winging it. I've been struggling recently with my running, so I just wanted to get done and be happy. And actually running it with Gibby, who's a good friend of mine, known him for decades now, and with Mike and Derek and my sister going up to pace us. And so I was just looking for a good time to spend some time with those guys. Low patches, when Gibby tried to sprint from me in the last 20 meters, I made a low point. Yeah. He was surging towards the branches, and I had to dig a little deeper to go with him.
Yeah.
That was kind of low. I thought that was a low point.
That's sad. That would make me sad.
But yeah, no, I really didn't struggle any low points. I mean, I felt bad for Derek and Mike when they were hurting, but me personally, I kept it very under control.
So you said you're kind of a little bit low just on running in general before this race. How did this help bring you out of that? How are you feeling now?
Yeah, that was the goal, just to come out of it happy. I did Boston in the spring, and it didn't go the way I wanted it to, and I think I just been struggling since then. So the goal was to do something new and fun, and actually having be able to do it with Gibby the whole time was a special treat. So definitely I'm coming out of this much better.
Feeling a little inspired. Does it have anything to do with like having a great trail name?
That does help.
It's like a gang. They formed their own gang.
That's great. All right. Gibby, same for you. What were your like low points and how'd you push through?
Well, I think the biggest low point for me was even before I've been just chasing these Western States tickets for 5 years. So like, you know, it's kind of like $300 and some for a race is really hard to swallow, you know, but it's like, oh, then you think about the possibility of Western States and getting in, and then hopefully bringing like 10 of my closest trail friends along for the journey. You know, it's like,
take me.
That's pretty much what I'm chasing right now. And, you know, we all have a lot of things going on in life. So for me to get out and train even 30, 40, 50 miles a week is just so hard. Mm-hmm. So like, just, you know, leading up to Eastern States, I signed up for that last minute and I was really scared shitless on the start line of that race. But I knew if I just hiked as long as I could until I had to run, I might finish. I'm not sure, but I was on the wait list for Twisted Branch and got in. I'm like, all right, this should be a lot easier, which it's, I'm still scared shitless. You know, it's like, you know, leading up to that, I'm just like, oh my gosh. So I just made sure I hydrated and ate well the week leading up to it. And obviously I didn't run because I wasn't running much. So I was already tapered. But you know, I think that was the real low point. And then getting out on the trail and actually like seeing if my legs knew what we were doing. Mm-hmm. You know, even through 30 miles, I'm like, man, they know what they're doing. I think I'm at 30 miles at 15-minute mile pace per hour. I can just hike this baby in and finish. But, you know, Kip kept me going. I mean, I did have some low points out there, but I've never really ran that conservative at the beginning, just, you know, hiking real easy, running kind of slow, 12, 13 minute mile pace on the roads. And I mean, I'd say the low was even before the race started, actually.
Yeah.
But everything was positive from there on out.
So how many tickets do you have for Worlds, for Western now?
So now it's going to be 16. So
you're going to get in soon.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's exciting.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you both talking about that, because I think, you know, everybody has those doubts about, you know, how they feel about running, or how they're feeling about that particular race. And, you know, switching from Eastern over to Twisted, like, sure, you can say that Twisted is easier, but also it means a lot more running. And for people like you and I who enjoy the hiking part, like, it's that's just a totally different race. And I don't know. I appreciate you sharing all of that, because between the two of you, you've been running for a long time, and it just kind of shows that you can still have these doubts and still sign up for the thing anyway and have a really good race. And sometimes it just takes having some great folks around you to help you through it. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, and having Kip and Derek and Mike, I mean, that in my spirits at the beginning and even through the race, that helped a lot. Yeah, and I think training is obviously most of it, but if you can do a lot of the other things, you know, prior weeks before the race, you know, get good sleep, you know, hydrate well,
right,
eat well. I mean, try to take it easy, get rid of a lot of stress. I mean,
yeah,
you can come the race day and do really well. I mean,
yeah, so. Absolutely. It's definitely not just the miles on your legs. You know, there's a lot to it. And sometimes having, especially once your training is pretty much over, you know, having an extra day to get yourself settled, you know, sometimes you need that. You can even perform better.
Yeah.
And I contribute using my legs into it. Like, my legs know what's going on. It's just getting them comfortable with, you know, it's and kind of noticing those little niggles when you need to slow down or take in more fuel before it gets catastrophic.
Yeah. And that just comes with experience.
Yeah. And I kind of had Eric in my head, and he always says eat. So I was making sure I was eating, you know, and then like Sarah had always talked about breathing, like you got to really inhale, exhale all that CO2, like all the whole day. So anytime I got myself thinking about whatever work or who knows, I'd breathe in, you know, just breathe, get in all that good oxygen and exhale. I mean, I think that is one huge thing to keep you going and eliminate a lot of those failures.
Yeah.
Take your mind off of it.
And breathing deep. And sometimes that can help me. I'll sometimes get a side stitch, and that's wise, because I'm shallow breathing. And then I've heard the advice before, like, if you're feeling good, eat. If you're feeling bad, eat. If you're tired, eat. Like, I think that's just such great advice. And I think, you know, the more and more and more you run, you realize, like, that really is just a huge part of it, is just really eating stuff that you know your body is going to respond really well to. And that you were talking about the carbs before earlier, and it really is just a whole ton of sugar. Just eat a lot of sugar, you know?
Yeah.
And it really can help tremendously, and being around some positive vibes, and, you know, the training is already in the past.
I don't know. Yeah, definitely. And I know peanut butter does not sit well in my stomach, but I love the taste of it. And I grabbed the foil pack at the one aid station. It was like rice, and I thought it was the egg bacon, you know, thing, but it was peanut butter and jelly. And I just opened that up, threw the rice ball in the woods and packed it up, took the garbage with you. I'm like, nope, I know I can't have it.
Yeah.
Could have offered the rest of us.
Yeah. Go get this ball, Kip, if you want it.
Well, I'm glad everybody had a good day, and it seemed like pretty good weather for that race. Was that true?
Yeah. It was a gorgeous day. I mean, it could be a couple degrees cooler, but, I mean, really, it is what it is. But the morning, the night running was the perfect temperature, and a little warm in the sun, but, yeah, it was gorgeous.
Hmm. Yeah, actually, nice. Another low was, I like swimming in creeks.
Great turnout for that race. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, like, another low for me, like, World's End, there's creeks everywhere, so you can cool off every mile if you mm-hmm. want. And I usually probably lose mm-hmm. about an hour to swimming, so in this race, there's absolutely no water until the end, so that was...
You had that one that creek.
That was sad.
Yeah. Look how good you did. Look at your time, finish time. That's funny.
Yeah, that's why they got to have the that's when you get some ice water at the aid station, you know.
Help all right. Well, Kip's out on his back porch, front porch, wherever he's at, and I can tell he's losing daylight very quick. So I think that's good indication. Yeah, he is.
I look better this way.
You need
You do.
Let's see. There you go. Look at that.
There you go.
Wow.
Kip, what's next on your calendar? What do you got?
The run for diamonds up in Berwick, because that's about it.
Oh, nice.
So, just kind of, mm-hmm. yeah. But I've done that since 1994, so I haven't missed a year of that, so that's kind of my streak race that I do.
Okay, fabulous. Gibby, what do you got next?
I don't have anything on the calendar, but I'd like to do some adventures. Like by myself, maybe on the Loyal Sock Trail or something like that.
Nice.
I know.
It's a good time of year for adventures.
I know a guy that did the whole thing.
Yeah, I know. Well, I won't be going after that time, but I might be doing like an out and back possibly.
That's awesome.
So, there you go.
We'll see. This gave me more confidence doing well at Twisted. I think I can do well unsupported on a long trail.
So, nice.
Cool.
We'll see. That'll be Grace, free.
What are you doing this weekend, Grace?
I'm going on an adventure this weekend. I'm helping my daughter move in for her senior year of college. This is it.
Big.
Yep. So driving over to Michigan, going to help her move in, got to drive everything into Detroit. And then on my way back, Callie and I are going to have some adventures.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it'll be fun. What are you doing this weekend?
Nothing that crazy. I don't know. We don't really have anything much planned.
Yeah. You got cross country now, right?
Yeah, first meet's tomorrow.
It'll be good.
Gonna be good. Should be exciting.
Yeah, good luck, everybody who is running tomorrow in the meet.
Yeah,
you should be in bed.
It's a small meet, but it's start of the season, so it'll be good.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think that's it for tonight. Thank you guys for spending time with us and joining in. Kip, I can't see you anymore. There it is. Oh, there it is.
That's light turned off.
Kip? You said you plan on running Twisted Branch next year.
Yeah, the plan right now is to come back in shape next year and do better.
Nice. Gibby, you going to do it again?
Well, now that Kip's going to race it, I think I might try to train and race it too.
Team nice. Circle P has to come together again.
We do.
Yeah, I like it.
All right. Grace, you ready to finish it?
I'm ready to finish this. All right, everybody. It was so great to have you, Kip and Gibby. Can't wait to have you on again because you're two awesome dudes. Congratulations on a great finish. And tune in every Sunday at 7:30 Eastern and watch us on the YouTube or the Facebook Live and comment and like and do all the things that the algorithm monsters want you to do and comment and subscribe and leave reviews and say nice things and be nice to each other. And you're all awesome. And thank you. And bye.
We didn't even get to talk about any fall races and opportunities, but that's okay. We'll probably do that next episode.
Yeah.
Call of the Wilds, Green Monster, stuff like that.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah. Kay. All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Kip. Thanks, Gibby.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks.
Take us out, Grace.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye.